morning.
Okay. Hello, Zoom people. I think there's quite a few, right? Because of the weather. Welcome. Thank you all for you guys all coming out. That's pretty amazing. The drive this morning was a little bit fun, but we made it. My dad was driving. Woo, good job, dad. Yes. So this morning, I don't know how many were here the last time I spoke. It was a while ago. Raise your hand if you were here. Okay, good. I'm expecting more of you guys this morning. No, okay. So I will do a little bit of a review for those that weren't here and for those that were. We won't play this again, but that's true. Maybe I should play it again. Yeah? Okay. Good job. Okay, so we will play this video. For those that haven't seen it, disclaimer, it is a little bit crazy, but it's okay. You can laugh. Okay. Yeah, so that's a joke. It's a joke. But there is some truth to it that we're going to pull out. There was quite a lot of you that were here the last time, so I'm just going to do a small review just so that those that weren't here are kind of on the same page as all of us. So what I was speaking about the last time, just I think it was about a month ago or a little more, is expressive worship and how, or the why on why it's important to use our bodies in worship. So wholly engaging and experiencing the presence of God, that's kind of the theme. And I'm doing a part two, and there's probably a part three and a four, but we'll see how far we get today. I'm not sure how far we're going to get. But today is going to be a lot of practical application. So last time was more of the theory, and today we're going to do some stuff. So don't be too nervous. It'll be fun. So I'm not going to redo all the slides because I don't think we have enough time. But so my main point is that worship is a whole person experience. It is not just a spiritual encounter. It's not just a physical encounter. And it's not just a mind encounter. It's actually all three work together to have a whole person experience with the Lord, an encounter with Jesus. You will see soon throughout the whole Bible, it is there are so many hundreds of verses that talk about physically expressing our worship to Jesus, not just singing, but there's, you can see here, there's arising, there's greeting, using your voice, not just singing, but speaking. There's your, yeah, and then it comes out of your whole heart, your whole life, and your innermost being, and bowing. It's just, it's a whole person experience. And we are not just mind, we're not just body, we're not just spirit, we're all three, right? We just, like there's a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There are three parts to us that make a whole person. So the why, God created man to function as a whole so that our thoughts, emotions, and actions actually shape one another. And we talked a bit about the science behind this as well. There is science that backs up that, because we know this, that if you're feeling bad or your body is going to kind of follow that. So you can kind of tell when someone's having a bad day, looking a little bit sad, maybe their shoulders are down, their face is long cast. Is that how you say it? And then their head is probably not up high, it's down, and they're walking maybe with a little of a shuffle, kind of close to the ground. Or if someone's feeling embarrassed or awkward, you can tell because they're probably closed up, maybe sitting on their hands, maybe having no eye contact. And so what we learned, that it also goes the other way, that how you act and what your body does can actually then change how you feel. And there's a lot of science behind this and research. One lady, Amy Cuddy, she does some TED Talks on this. And she talks about something called the power stance before an interview. If you're feeling nervous when you're about to go into an interview, you can actually do a 2-minute pose where you open yourself up into a powerful stance where you look confident, but maybe you don't feel it yet. And after 2 minutes, your body and your mind actually kind of follows what your body is doing, and you actually gain confidence just from a simple body movement. And so that also happens and translates into our relationship with people and with God. We talked about the vulnerability when we're having relationship with one another, just a simple of opening your hands when you're sitting across from someone actually signals to the other person that you're willing to be a part of their life, you're wanting to share and be comfortable with them. Even if you're maybe feeling nervous and feeling timid, you can just do a simple open up the hand and it will actually get your mind and your spirit kind of lining up into what you know is right. And so in worship, it's the same, that we enter into his courts with thanksgiving, right? That requires some action. So thanksgiving is a vocal thing, right? You have to say something that you're thankful for, or you show it, or your heart has to change. But something that will help you change your heart is using your body. Because how many times do we come into a worship service and maybe we've had a 30-minute harrowing experience on the road where there's a snowplow that's going one way and someone's coming another way, and then we get to church feeling a little rattled and maybe not ready to engage in the presence of God because you're still, God, you almost killed me on the road. Maybe there's a bit of anger there, or maybe you just had, maybe you were eating your breakfast and your wife was making your breakfast, you got up and the eggs were cold and you're maybe feeling a little irritated that, you know, your eggs were cold, or maybe you had kids in the car and they were all fighting in the back seat and you're like, guys, we're about to go to church, be unified, but you're a little bit angry again. And then you come in to the service and there's a song on that's all happy, just like this morning, and you're not feeling maybe so happy and you don't want to clap, you don't really want to tap your foot, you just kind of like, get this morning over with so I can go have lunch, I'm a little hungry, my breakfast was cold, I couldn't have time to eat it, whatever. So all that to say is that you can actually change your mind and bring your spirit into alignment with where you know you're supposed to be by using our bodies, by engaging in a worship service, even if you're not there mentally or spiritually yet. You can actually align yourself and enter into the gates, jump in, maybe physically a little jump in or a little open hand. Keep going. Okay. So yeah, we're designed to engage as a whole person, not just sitting arms crossed, eyes downcast. Maybe there is a moment for that, but if that's your whole experience as a person that is worshiping the Lord, that's your whole experience, something's off. That doesn't mean that I'm sitting around judging everyone who's sitting down with their arms crossed. Grant. No, I'm just joking. This is a service for you to look inward. Not for me to look outward and judge, and not for you to judge others. Oh, they're having a lesser experience than I am because they're not doing blah, blah, blah. No, no. This is about you looking inwards and thinking, looking back, taking stock. Is that right? Like looking back at your worship experience and thinking the generic overall feeling is what? What is it that you kind of sense? Do you feel that you have that freedom and expression in worship? Or do you feel like maybe it's a little lackluster, a little bit boring? A little bit lame. No, I'm just joking. Not like, but a little bit, you sense there's something missing and I'm not sure what it is. And it could be that there's different things that are maybe holding you back or a hindrance in why you're not able to express, or as a congregation, why maybe there's some, maybe you leave a service and you go, oh, there was something like as a congregation, there wasn't a breakthrough in something. Why is that? Well, we don't look to other people. We look to ourselves first and go, what is it in me that the Lord can work on and I can overcome and conquer so that I can be released in freedom, not go crazy every moment, but there should be movement. So our outward actions, yes, can impact our inward spirit. So praise is entrance and worship is communion. So we have to enter in, and that will take physical and emotional and spiritual and mental work. It doesn't just happen passively. It's an active experience. That's what worship is. As a congregation, there's a deeper experience when we're all actively engaging. You can really tell the difference if you walk into a room and you can tell half the congregation is maybe passively experiencing worship and half are actively experiencing worship. You can really tell, not just because of physical things, but there's an atmospheric feeling that you can sense. And we don't want to be, we want to be an active experiencing church that is into the presence of the Lord and experiencing his throne room together. Yeah, that's what we are wanting and what we have come from. And yeah, I talked a little bit about the tabernacle parallel, how, yeah, there's the body. It's kind of similar to the outer court, the soul and the spirit. The spirit is that communion, that holy of holies entrance, that place. And you can't get there without entering. So we have to enter together and go on a journey to get into that depth of communion and intimacy in our worship services. And then we talked a little bit about some hindrances. I'll skip this and go to this is the part we didn't get to yet. Okay. So we talked a little bit last time about how there are different things that can hold us back. Different people mentioned different things. So I kind of compiled a short list. It's not exhaustive, on things that can maybe hinder us from fully experiencing and engaging in worship. So the first one we'll say is unconfessed sin. That actually can hold you back, not just from worship, but it can hold you back from true intimacy with Jesus in your own walk. This is a very obvious one, but it can be something that we forget about. If we come in on a service Sunday morning And maybe there is some guilt. There's something there that's holding you back from engagement. Maybe take stock as you're coming into the worship and just do a simple, Lord, I need to repent from that. I need to repent this. I need to confess this, get some prayer, and you will actually be able to engage more wholly as a person in worship. And it will also release you from maybe some of the shame and guilt that's you're carrying that physically your body is having a hard time to clap or have a hard time to bow, have a hard time to lift hands because there's this physical like chain kind of holding you back, which is can be coming from shame, from unconfessed sin. So this is something that we need to look at and think about and on our own time before the service to deal with so that we can enter. Another one would be condemnation or a feeling of unworthiness. This is a big one because if we're having a sin problem or some other problem, maybe we don't feel we're worthy to step into the presence of God, that will 100% hold you back from stepping into the presence of God because you don't feel like you can. And but we know from Romans 8, it says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus when you walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. And so we know the truth. There is therefore no condemnation. And so we can, again, take stock, look at our heart. Am I feeling shame? Am I feeling unworthy of the presence of God? Maybe I'm feeling like I let him down or I've disappointed him and I can't really fully engage because of the shame. And that's something, again, that you can contend for. You can fix that, or Holy Spirit can fix that when you are willing and take that step and either ask for prayer or deal with it in your heart and say, Lord, remind me of the truth. I am your son. I am your daughter. You know, by your Spirit, I can call Abba Father. And that's something that we need to look at if that's something that's holding you back from maybe your freedom and your relationship with the Lord. Another one is unforgiveness or disunity. I'll read this one because it's actually really nice. If you have your Bibles physically, you don't like me. shame. Just joking. No shame. Romans 15, 5-7. Okay. May the God of endurance and encouragement, that's really cool. God is a God of encouragement, not of condemnation, grant you to live in such harmony and unity with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together, so that together you may with one voice glorify and praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept and welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the praise of God. So this is super key. In order to have one voice as a congregation, there needs to be unity. There needs to be acceptance. There needs to be forgiveness and harmony. And so if there is something in between you and someone else in the body, that's going to hold back the rest of the body from fully experiencing what God has for us in the morning. So that is something, again, we need to think about, take stock about. Someone maybe has hurt you and they don't even know it, but you've been harboring a little bit of unforgiveness or a bit of hurt, a bit of anger, bitterness. That's something that you need to take out in order to experience the fullness of a congregational experience with God. Like, there's so much more depth that we can go when we start dealing with these things inside of us. Another one is unbelief or a wrong concept of God's character. You can read Hebrews 11. Verse 6. Oh, yeah. Well, this one, yeah. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, not only that he exists, but that he rewards those who seek him. That's another character and nature of God. If we're thinking of God as a condemning God who is always punishing, but he actually says that you must believe I exist and that I reward and encourage those who seek me, that can change your mindset and actually want to engage more in the presence of God. So that's important to have your unbelief dealt with and to deal with. Maybe you don't really realize you're thinking that about Jesus or about God, but to take stock again, what is it? How is it that I see God right now? Do I see him as someone who's upset with me and doesn't want me to experience his presence? Or do I recognize the truth that when I confess, he'll heal me and he actually wants to reward me because I'm seeking him? He wants to actually come closer to us. Not just draw near, but he is drawing near to us. And that's so key to have that in your heart and your mind when you're going into worship. Another one is a religious spirit. This one we talked about last time about there's sometimes there is this old, it came from a Gnostic background of the view of the body, how the body is wrong, it's bad compared to the spirit. The spirit is everything. We're all about the spirit and the body should not really be involved. Or if it's involved, it's very, very secondary. But we looked at how Jesus actually says the opposite, that the body and who we are is so good. All of it is good. And all of it is to engage in worship. And so that can come into that thought maybe that dancing is evil. That kind of was that like train of thought. That could sometimes hold us back that, well, like the body is less than, I should really focus on my spirit. But then if we're forgetting the body and the entrance, then we will not get very much farther because we've kind of skipped a step. That's really important. It's not just secondary. It's not less than. It's not evil. The body is so key and so important and integral to moving forward into your experience with the Lord. So that's another religious spirit. Oh, this actually, Colossians 2:20-23 talks about Gnosticism, and that it talks about, I can read that real fast. Well, Colossians 2:20. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to such regulations as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings? These have endeared an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. So that means like the separation of the body. The flesh is evil, but the body is evil. But they are of no value in actually stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So yeah, this is a whole lot more you can go into that. You can research some Gnosticism if you want. But that's not biblical. That's not the way Jesus intended. The flesh is, the sinful flesh is evil, but our flesh is not. It's actually good and beautiful. We are beautiful people. I think you're all very beautiful. We all have different characteristics of Jesus. And you're awesome. It's good. Another one that can hold us back is pride, the fear of man. This is a very obvious one. I love that you were talking about that this morning because that just goes right into it. Not only with evangelism, but with worship. What is this person going to think if I do this, or if I shout a little bit louder than normal, like they're gonna or whatever. There could be so many things that hold us back, and fear of man is a big one, or just not even specifically what other people think, but just in general, I don't want to look stupid. That's a big thing that holds us back. And 2 Samuel 6:12-22, Chuck read it last time. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of David just throwing off all of that fear of man and remembering that the Lord is who we should be afraid of. And he just danced wildly before the Lord. And no matter what, other people did judge him, other people did shame him, but he didn't take that into account. He only took into what the Lord thinks of him. And that was like, he loved his sacrifice of worship. Like Jesus, God loved him and loves his worship. And then Proverbs 29:25 says that the fear of man is like a trap or a snare, and it can trap you physically from that that experience. And it doesn't set you free. It actually encloses and captures you when you have that fear of man. So there's a whole list. There's probably so many more, but these are things that maybe you can take a look at this list and pray and ask the Lord which one or ones is something that I need to deal with. I need to conquer it. And obviously you're not going to conquer it in one morning, or you never know, but this is just something that we need to be looking at as we move forward as a church into the presence of the Lord this year in 2023. If we want to go deeper as a congregation and we want to see, the river of God flowing out from here into Ottawa, there needs to be something happening in our hearts individually and congregationally. And so we're actually going to have a time right now where we're going to practice that practically apply this. So I'm going to ask Barb and Scott and Leo and myself, we're going to be up here, but it doesn't have to be an actual thing where you get prayer for. You can contend in your seats, but there needs to be some contending. That may mean a little like, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would, you know, I just ask for forgiveness for this pride that's, you know, I'm afraid to look stupid. And Lord, I pray, and you know, you do some contending. So this may mean being a little vocal. It might be whispering. That's okay. I would encourage you not to do it in your head if you are in the seats. And if you want to come, like, I want you to actually talk. So even if it's a little tiny whisper that no one else can hear, that's okay. But it really, there's a next level when you use your body. So that's why, I mean, I want to see. And at home, actually, Zoomers, you guys can do this too. Look at this list and pray and ask the Holy Spirit, maybe just tackle one this morning. And if you want to come and get prayer, that's another, there's time for that. We will be here and ready to pray for you, just praying for release for these things. And or you can sit in your seat, or I mean, no, don't sit in your seat, or stand in your seat. I mean, don't stand in your seat, stand up. Or if you are sitting, I want to see some head bobbing or something, you know, like you're in this, okay? We're in this together. We're going to contend. That's the word I kept getting. I felt like the Holy Spirit wants us to contend as a church for breakthrough and releasing ourselves to experience the fullness of God in a greater way in 2023. This is a new year for West Ottawa. And I was going to share a little bit actually about the history of West Ottawa. I grew up here, and something I remember just during worship times was just the epic freedom that people had to do whatever, whether it was dance, cry, laugh. Not like if you're hearing this and you're thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds terrifying. No, it was a beautiful thing. It was really beautiful, and it was healing. When you came to church, you came out whole, you felt healed, you felt whole, you felt loved, you felt known and seen and connected. And that's something that we're going after. We're going to go after this year. That there's a heritage there of freedom and worship that I grew up in, and I want it back, not just for myself. Like, this is me. I need to go deeper too. This is for all of us. There's more for us. There's more presence. There's more power. Not just here, but out on the streets. Once it's here, it goes out. And that's our goal too, is to get out of the four walls. Just like our lovely sister Carol was saying this morning. So this is not about just us having a great time, but it's about the power of God coming and breaking out in Ottawa and everywhere around. And we want to be part of it. We don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind, not like the rapture, but I mean like left behind with what God's doing in Ottawa. Forget about that. Let's go. Let's move. So my dad is going to play some music and a beautiful song about, it says, I will not fear Elohim. Shamri, which means God is our protector. There is no need to fear. And this is just, you don't have to sing along. You can just start contending. So we're going to contend. So if you want prayer, come up here. There's prayer. Move around a little bit. If you want to go to the back, if you want to go to the side, there's lots of room to contend on the side. you don't have to jump. You can sit, but I want to see contending. You can sit if you physically cannot stand, that's okay. But I would love to see something happening in this room. Okay. Brings release to the Holy Spirit. We ask you to come into our hearts. Shine that light. Shine the light. Illuminate those areas that hold us and entrap us. And Jesus, we ask, even in your homes on Zoom, Lord, I pray that they are part of this, our family. We're all a family. And we want to be one as you are one. We want one voice to lift up the praises of God. We are entering in. We move. We take a step forward in entrance to the presence of God, to the Holy of Holies. We are on a journey. Father, empower us. Equip us. In Jesus' name, we wait for you, Lord. We are not on our own time. We're on your time, in Jesus' name. Come, cast out everything. Pray for healing, physical, emotionally, spiritually. Pray for healing for each other. Confess to one another. Pray for one another. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your grace, your new mercies every morning. Thank you for your faithfulness when we are faithless. Thank you for who you are. You're so gracious. You're so forgiving of our failures. And you want a depth to our relationship. You want intimacy. That's what you want. That's what you desire. You're not doing it because you have to. You want us. You want us to be free. You want us to have breakthrough. That's your desire for West Ottawa. That's your desire for each one of us. And we thank you, Father, for this time. And we pray a sealant over it, that you would seal this time, Lord, of breakthrough. And that not only would it be sealed, but it would grow. And that the enemy would have no place in taking it back. In Jesus' name. Protect us. You are the Elohim Shamri. You're your protector. You protect us. And I pray right now for whatever's happened. I don't even know anything and everything that's happened in this room just now and in the homes that are watching. Holy Spirit, I pray your protection over each of us, that this would not stop here and it would not go backwards, but we would go forward. We would press on towards the prize. We would press on to the goal, which is you. We turn our eyes to you. We fix our eyes on the prize. It's who you are. We're running after you. We're running after you together. And I just pray for that togetherness. I thank you for the togetherness. We're running the race together. We are not leaving anyone behind. We are going together to your throne to experience your presence as one body, one heart, one mind, one spirit. Thank you.